Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Go ahead and crunch into the microphone. It's good for the brand.
Not quite yet. I'm finishing my breakfast, such as it were. Two slices of toast.
What's that? Rye?
No. Yeah, I love rye toast. Oh my gosh, I love rye toast.
I'm a rye guy.
Because last night, I don't know, all of a sudden out of the blue, about 4 o'clock in the morning, woke up soaking wet because I didn't wet the bed, but because I had a fever. I got a thermometer, took my temperature, and had a fever for about an hour. And then it went away. I didn't even get to take the Tylenol. I went away. It must have broken, I guess, while I got all sweaty. I didn't even know I had a fever. So I took a COVID test. It's negative. So
yeah, I'm going to need you to get that checked out, though. That's random.
So hopefully I'll be okay. Now, in the interest of entertainment for the program, if it gets real high again like it did when I had pneumonia and I get delirious, you're in for some entertainment. I don't remember any of it, but Darlene says that I said that Simon was being recruited by Arkansas or something. So the problem is I may be perfectly coherent, and yet you won't like my points, and you'll say, well, he must have been delirious again because the things he was saying was just ridiculous. So anyway, big day for me. I'm finished the program, then drive halfway to Durham and spend the night, and then finish the rest of the trip tomorrow because be there for noon tip for Duke and Syracuse, and then I'll be able to see the Louisville game. Anyway, I'm sorry I won't be here for the Russ Smith ceremony. I am really sorry about that. I like Russ so much, and it'll be a nice day. He's tremendously popular here, and the crowd, I'm sure, will be very appreciative. So at least I'll be able to see the game, so that'll be good. And then I'll catch up with the Louisville team in Virginia for Monday's game, although that's pretty entertaining because Paul told me last night he finished the game notes for Notre Dame for Saturday, and he said, well, let me get a little bit ahead. So he did the game notes for Monday and put the entire chart together for North Carolina. He put it together for the wrong team.
poor Paul.
I've done that differently. Like let's say let's say it's the game Saturday, Syracuse and Duke, and now, I write on the left side of my page Syracuse and the right side of my page Duke, and I'm getting ready for my notes, and then I'll put the players down, the names down the left side of the page, and then I put their stats next to them, and then I do it in ink too because it's easier to see during the game than pencil, and then I will write all of these stats for the other team there. Put the wrong team stats on the wrong side of the page. I put the one team stats on one side and the other team stats on the wrong side, and so then that has to get ripped out of my notebook amid some swearing and things like that. So anyway, so that's what's going on for this weekend for me. So I hope you guys have a great weekend. Last night I learned something, and I don't think it's any secret because I think that all you got to do is look on Twitter. Louisville was very, very much a good response in things that are important. They played with great determination. They showed toughness. They played with grit. I don't know, you know, I know that one of the podcasts in town was talking about guys not coming to practice and still starting and tremendous disharmony. And I've only been to a handful of practices. Paul goes a lot. And I said, have you ever seen any of that? He said, no. One practice, he threw, I won't mention the kid's name, but he threw him out for 15 minutes. He wanted him to just cool down. And then he came back in and he practiced the rest of the practice and he was fine. And I don't see any, you know, attitude issues when they come off. I mean, they come right in front of us when they come out of the game, and I can hear what Chris says to them and what they say back. And so I'm sorry, I haven't seen that. They are a team that had their confidence shattered. They were missing the shots. They really had not understood this offense, and instead of helping them, they turned into your job is to help us, not to truck us up. And they were, and it's not to disparage Chris or McMaines or anything. It's just the system that didn't suit them. I'm not sure it does suit them. But they're trying to retrofit it, and I think they're getting it. For example, and I was glad Chris said this. I asked him in the post game, because if you listen to the broadcast, I was talking about it. Noah Locke was not having a great shooting night, and I didn't give a damn. I wanted him to keep shooting. He has to keep shooting the ball. He's a terrific shooter. It's not like we're waiting to find out, gee, can he shoot? He's got to keep shooting. He's got to be a threat. He can't miss one and then say, well, I'm not going to shoot again. And like I said, it got to the point where almost every game, it looked like they had 9 guys who played, and they all were 2 for 7. They all were 2 for 7, and so that made them 18 for 63. I'll do the math for you, which is terrible percentage, and that's about what they were doing. I was like, well, that's because they should not all be shooting the same amount. You know, I don't, if the guy's having a rough shooting night, well, he's got to try and, you know, sometimes he makes one, and then he makes 5 in a row. I mean, that's the way it is. I've coached guys like that. I mean, and so you gotta still play to your strengths. So I thought they were gritty. I thought they stayed together. They were connected. They put a good defensive performance together by and large. You know, the first half, they really got to the foul line. My God, were they getting to the foul line, which set the tone for them in a good way. Got some of their players in foul trouble. It was not, you know, and what I said, what I learned, though, and I realized is that there is definitely a number of the fan base. You know, I'm sorry you know, I don't think Coach Mack's listening, but I don't, even if he were, I'm not telling him something he doesn't know. I mean, there's an element of the fan base that really has already made their minds up that he's not the right guy and they're no good. And so anything that anybody says remotely positive, even though they're quote unquote Louisville fans, they want to disparage. Because it's very important that there not be any positive commentary going on about what's going on, because it might, you know, alter their desired course of action, which is that it gets so bad that there's no choice but they have to make a coaching change. And excuse me, I'm working on this cold, so I have hot tea here, so I'm going to have to sip on occasion, or I'll sound like Joan Hackett, for people who remember Joan Hackett. Good hot tea. Good for you in the winter months. So like, you know, as soon as I mention that good things happened yesterday, you know, there's not a lot, but there's a handful of people that immediately responded, oh, great, we're up 2 at the half against the worst team in the league, you know, or something along those lines. There's more than one comment like that. And it wasn't the point I was trying to make, and it's not the point I'm making now. I was simply saying, and I stand by it, that if you're going to correctly lament the fact that they didn't look like they were playing hard, they didn't look like they were playing with any kind of toughness and grit, that you've got to look at that and say, well, you know, that's the first order of business. Forget about, you know, the score. The score is a byproduct of those things. Your unity as a team, your toughness, your determination, your execution. And they did all those things better last night. That's all I said. And so one guy, although he was the funny one of the group, but so I didn't mind that. I don't mind when you've got at least a sense of humor about it. He wrote back and said, you know, yeah, but it's the worst team in the league, and you're only shooting 14% from the 3-point line or whatever. And so I wrote back, man one, this entree is really delicious. Man two, this dessert, yeah, well, so what? The dessert is still not up to, you know, world-class standards. Step man one again. I wasn't talking about dessert. I merely was pointing out that the entree was very good. And that's what I was doing last night. I wasn't saying, oh, this is unbelievable. They're beating Boston College. Wow. I was pointing out that, they were actually, and they exceeded the public's expectation because they covered, right? They won by double digits. And they were 7.5-point favorites, and they covered that. And so the second half of the game wound up getting some separation. And they also did something. But anyway, so to finish that story about the tweeter, he wrote back to me, man, too. Yeah, well, it's not going to matter if the dessert kills me. I thought that was funny.
That's a good line. That's a really good line.
So I thought I put back laughing faces to that. That was funny. But the point was, you know, that they did things last night that we've been calling for them to do. For example, I have said all year, one of the things that's really, 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 really worked against this team is when the other team puts a run together, and almost everybody puts some sort of run together. I mean, there's very few games where you come out and take a 5-point lead at the end of the first segment, and then it goes to 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. It doesn't work that way. You know, there's runs in the game. And when teams have made runs at Louisville, my God, this year, have they had a hard time counterpunching. They've had a hard time trading punches. They get in there and the other team makes a run, and then it snowballs. It's an avalanche. It's what Pat Riley used to call them, skirmishes. Saying, he said, an NBA game in 48 minutes, there's 7 skirmishes, not physical altercations, but little runs, 7-1, 8-2, those kinds of things. And you need to win 4 of them and you win the game. And he said, but there was another term he used to use, or we used it anyway. When it goes beyond that, it goes beyond to, you know, 6-1, a 7-1 or 8-2 or something like that run. It's you know, it's the 14 nothings, the 15 ones. We used to call them frenzies. And if you get a frenzy, it's like baseball getting a crooked number. The statistics show a baseball team that gets a crooked number has a hell of a lot better chance of winning than, you know, trying to get 6 innings where they get 1 run. You got to get a cluster. You got to get a bunch. So last night they were ahead by 2 at the half. They went up 8. At the end of the first segment in the second half, which is another problem. That was the first game since Western Kentucky that the first segment of the second half they won. How about that? That's according to Gus Allen, our technical director there on site. And I think that's probably right, because they have gotten off to the worst second half starts. And they got a good start to the second half there. But then, almost immediately, out of the under 16 timeout, Boston College came back and tied the game up. And so they went on like an 8-0 run. And those are the ones that in the past turn into 14-0 runs or 16-2 runs or something like that. And they've had a really hard time just trading punches. They just go hide in the corner and cover up, and then the other guy just keeps firing punches at him. Not last night. They came back immediately and then put a run together of their own and went right back up by 8. And that's what's gone on so many games to Louisville from the other side. They've made a great run in the second half to erase or really cut down a lead, and you say, oh, man, this is, you know, good. I'm talking about on the radio that, okay, they were down 8 at the half, and now they've got it down to 3, and they're still, you know, it's 8 minutes to go, and then almost immediately, boom, the other team goes on a 7-0 run or something, and now they're down 10. So now they went through all that work in the second half, and they actually lost ground. They went from down 8 to down 10. It's very demoralizing, and they would get beat. Or the other thing was true, too. They would be, you know, playing pretty well and have a small lead, and then the other team would go on one of those 15-0 runs. That's happened so many times this year. And I was like, you got to find a way to have a go-to play or something where, you know, they score out of it. And, you know, and last night they did. They ran a couple of Chris's pet plays, the one where they just – I meant to ask him in the postgame, and I forgot. I don't know how that play on the baseline works. They take the ball to the left side, and the guy just zips it right along the baseline, and the guy on the right block catches it. I don't know. Do they just assume the guy doesn't see the ball or what? Because it's a really unusual pass, and they get it all the time. They got it once last night.
Talking about the one with Jalen? Well, snapped it to Sid?
No, I don't think so. I can't remember. It might have been. I know it's the left, always from the left side. From the left side, the left corner. He guys in the left corner, and he throws it all the way. He zips it along the baseline, and the guy on the right block catches it. They've done it for different guys. Matt Cross scored on it, and They threw it away in the second half. I think Sid was the one trying to make the – no, I don't know who threw the pass. You talking about the one where Jalen threw it over Sid's head?
No. This one they connected on.
Oh, no. This is one in the second half. I don't remember who was throwing the pass, but Sid was on the – you know, they were running the same play, and the guy is told he has to zip it, but, you know, he threw it like a Nolan Ryan fastball. And plus
Matt Cross did that one time.
4 feet over his head, and he went sailed out of bounds on the other side. But, you know, you'll be happy. I used a hockey analogy. I said, you know, it doesn't matter. You should have at least hit him in the hands, even if he couldn't catch it. But he didn't have his hands up, you know. And I said, it's like hockey. You got to have your stick on the ice. Basketball, you got to have your hands up. And he didn't. So they didn't score on that, and they. But they did one other time, and they ran another one of his pet plays, and he was calling a lot of sets again because he wants, you know, they still don't automatically go to the guy who makes a shot, and that bothers me. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe you heard it in the broadcast, but Noah finally made a shot, and then he didn't touch the ball for like three possessions. And then he came down, and I could see him in the left corner, and I said, Noah's free in the corner. And sure enough, they made two passes and got it to him, and he took the shot, and he hit the three. And I was like, you know, the announcer shouldn't be recognizing it before the players. Yeah, that's not good. The players have to recognize that. So, you know, they still could. It wasn't like it was a perfect game by any stretch. Chris was frustrated at execution of some plays. He ran that out of bounds, that baseline out of bounds play where they just throw it off the guy's ear, you know, zip it to the guy in a block on the other side, and they threw it there, and I don't know, I think it was to Matt, I don't remember, and he got it, made a terrible layup, missed it badly, and, you know, he threw his hands up because, you know, the play worked fine, but they didn't get the basket out of it. So, you know, and they had some execution where they offensively was not what it should have been. Like, he stands in front of me so I can hear what he's saying, you know, like why is he throwing it there? Go to the wing or something like that. And then defensively, you know, they were – Sid, God bless him, he plays so hard, but he was coming out so far on the edge. He was almost in – I said in the postgame, he was almost in Oklahoma. I mean, he was out. The guy – first of all, you got to try and push it to the side. And Chris explained in the postgame why they're hard to do that with. They do a really good job of – If you set up on the inside side of the player, so you're trying to push him to the sideline, the screener just jumps around you and reestablishes position on the middle side. And so the guy with the ball is still going to come off the screen to the middle because that's where they want to go. And then they come around the screen to the middle, and they want to play downhill. And they go hard to the basket, and good things happen when they do. Well, Sid, taking his job seriously as a hedge defender to try and stop the dribbler, is great. He jumps out, but then the dribbler keeps going, and Sid keeps going with him to the, like I said, to Oklahoma, and then he's like, his man is standing under the basket, and Sid's 40 feet away from him. That's a lot of ground to cover, no matter how hard you play. And so, you know, he's got to help and release a little bit more quickly. He's coming out a little bit too much, and Chris said that after the game. But, you know, it's a lack of experience here for Sid. But I could be the president of his fan club. I absolutely love the way he's playing. It is just fantastic. He is a presence around the basket. My God, and he's a good passer. And he's a tough rebounder in traffic. And he knows what his game is. He is one of the guys that really understands his game, which is, I'm going to never try to catch the ball further than 7 feet from the basket. And then when I get it, I am going to take a spin and a 2 foot jump stop, and I'm going to take everybody in the building to the rim. That's pretty much it. He might as well announce it. Here I come. And, you know, as they scout him, he's having trouble. They went, everybody sank on him last night, and they stripped him a couple of times. But he'll kick it out. He throws good passes. He plays hard. He is tough. He gave them some toughness. So, I commit to those guys because they're giving you grit. Matt Cross gives you grit, even if he hasn't been able to make too many shots. I don't know what's wrong with his shot, but he's in there. He will always, always, always attempt to get to the ball on a rebound. Always. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's like Dennis Rodman. He always is in there. He'll get a hand on it. He's mixing it up. He got 5 rebounds last night. He's always going to be good if you give him enough minutes for 5, 6, 7 rebounds. Really is amazing. He's not that tall. But he is... he's a really determined rebounder. And then, of course, you know, we're 24 minutes into the show, and we didn't mention Jalen, which was – we had him on as the postgame guest, and just – really happy for him. He had a long visit with Chris Mack and asked, you know, what do I have to do to stay on the court? And Chris told him, look, you know, it's nothing personal. We all like you, but you can't go out there and have the ball knocked out of your hands, and you're not making efforts for rebounds, and you're getting beat on defense. And he did all those things better last night. He was better defensively, although he still gets beat a little bit, but he was better. He was much more of a determined rebounder, and he was much stronger with the ball. And, you know, sometimes you make one shot and your confidence soars, and he made that little mid-range jumper and got fouled, and that seemed, he even said afterward, that seemed to, you know, get him going a little bit, so that was good. Well, you know, the person who did the it's a funny tweet. Heard your pops refer to the podcast. Let him know the info I got was from a player, a parent, and a GA. They told me to put it out there. I have receipts, LOL. Well, I have receipts. Well, the problem with that is, and this is, you know, why I say that. Billy Martin used to say about baseball teams that there are 24 guys on your roster. 8 of them love you, 8 of them hate you, and 8 are on the fence. And the key to your team's success is to keep the 8 around the fence away from the 8 guys who hate you. So I'm sure there's a player who can't stand Chris or can't stand what's going on. He's probably getting no playing time, and he's mad. And so, yeah, I'm sure you could find that. And then everybody, even and parents, you could write that off. You know, ask Pratt. You know, friends, family, and fools. So they fit under the family category. So I don't care. You can write that off. And then I don't know who the GA is, but you know, everybody wants to be the guy who's got information. So they love to. And yeah, let's put it out there. Let's, because they're mad about something. I don't know, but that's an agenda. That's not somebody who's just, you know, observing something. That's an agenda. So all I can tell you is what I've seen and what Paul's seen. I didn't see any. I can usually see that when I see a team play. I didn't see it last night, but I'm not suggesting you lied or anything. I'm just saying I don't think it's as prevalent. I think that even some of the players, you know, whoever those three people are that you allude to, are probably like the guys that were writing me last night. Yeah, but that was Boston College. It really doesn't count. Really, they weren't. You can't count that. Yes, you can. And yes, I did. And so I'm sorry to disrupt your narrative that everything is falling apart and they suck and the coach has to go. And, you know, I'm that's just the reality. So that's all I did was report on what we saw. So that's what happened last night. You know, and somebody wrote this last night. People will say, but it's Boston College, but we need to start seeing this team play like a team, and they did. You know, celebrate the fun, good. That's what I do. I was entertained last night. You know, there were some plays, like the play where, and I know some of you had trouble seeing it. I guess ESPN Plus, is that what it was? It was an ESPN Plus.
It was on Bally Sports.
Okay, because some of the – I mean, all the show, there was a Twitter thread of where the hell's this game or it is. I mean,
I could not – I listened to you and Paul last night and then watched the condensed version of it on YouTube, but I could not find a Reddit stream of it anywhere.
Well,
so on the illegals, I couldn't find it at all.
They the ball went – there was a play where Sam was on the offensive end. It was in the second half because they were right in front of our bench offensively, and they didn't score. And Boston College went down the floor, and he came tearing from behind the play, and he deflected the ball. They didn't see him. He was coming from the back, and he deflected it, and it was about to go, like, into the hall, was over the end line. And he hustled. He deflected it, jumped in the air so he could catch the ball before it went out of bounds, and zipped it behind him to one of his teammates, and that just electrified everybody. There were plays that got the crowd fired up. His dunk where he went across the lane, you know, he's had a number of those where he just fires across the lane and flushes it. That was impressive. And my guy Sid again, he did that also. He made some shots. I mean, they just attacked him once and he got hammered by like 8 guys and he just muscled the ball up and it like grazed the backboard and went way up in the air and went in, and so he got a foul on top of it, and that got the crowd excited. So, it was fun. That's the way I look at the game. You know, it was fun to watch them, which was not the case. Like, the Pittsburgh game was painful to watch. I agree. I mean, I understand the people who were, you know, not happy. 53 points, and they looked awful. They just looked terrible. But who knows why it happens? I mean, you know, how did Florida State get beat by 9 million by Wake Forest? I mean, I don't know. You know, it happens. But the problem with this team is a lot of the reasons that they've struggled have been the same reason from game to game. The other team putting a 15-0 run together, all of a sudden their energy level seeming to go down. But, I mean, these are human beings. I mean, I'm quite certain with social media what it is, even if they say, well, I'm not going to pay attention, they've heard and seen the tweets and how angry everybody is. It's not, you know, that's not easy. So I will say this. I mean, it's not close to a sellout. I know that. But the people who did show up last night evidently were not those that were coming to try and witness the catastrophic result of the next night here. They were there to support them. And they and Chris made mention of that, and the players did. And, yeah, they were, it's a two-way street. I'm sure the fans would say, well, you got to give us some reason to support you. You got to give us a play to cheer. We can't cheer just when you dribble the ball over the midcourt line. We got to – and they gave them some reason. But they were there wanting to cheer them. It's like you know what it is? It's the difference between the Saturday 8 o'clock audience for a comedy club and the 1 a.m. comedy club audience. The 8 o'clock club audience for a comedy club goes because they want to laugh. It's their night out. They're spending a lot of money. They went to dinner, and now this is their. This is what they chose as their Saturday entertainment. They don't want to come home and not have been amused, so they want to laugh. So they give you the benefit of the doubt on jokes, and so it's a fun vibe. 1 o'clock is a lot of drunk guys who are like, "What do you want to do? I don't know. You want to go to White Castle? I don't want any more burgers. And let's go to the comedy club. We can just go in there. Who the hell is playing? I don't know. Let's just go." And then they walk up and they go, "Who the heck is this?" Asshat, you know, and it's not nearly, it's not, they don't want to laugh. They want to mock. Well, last night's crowd for basketball was a crowd that wanted to cheer, and it was nice to see because there was some reason to cheer because they played with some grit and determination, and that was a good thing. So we'll see what happens now. In fairness, let's not lose our objectivity. Boston College had a number of good shots that they missed, and they're not a good shooting team at all. And Louisville did a really good job of defending them for the most part, but with effort. They didn't. Execution wasn't always great, but their effort was good. And they missed a bunch of shots that I think I'm confident that Notre Dame won't miss. So they're going to have to execute their defense a little better. But you know, that's what we're looking at is you know, finding a way to get it done. Remind me, Huggins said something interesting to me in the interview before the West Virginia Kansas game, and I asked him, you know, what has been the key to you guys are playing really good basketball. They were 13-2 at that point or whatever. He said that we have just been very, very I forget what the term he used, but the gist of it was whatever the game calls for, that's what we've done. So one night we've won by playing pressing. One night we've won by playing good man-to-man. Next night we won by going to some zone. Next night we tried to change defenses to confuse them. So we've just done what the game's called for. I think Louisville's going to have to be that kind of team, and they haven't been. That's the problem. When the anatomy of the game has changed, they didn't change. And then they would allow the other team would make an adjustment, and all of a sudden it was a 14-0 run, and boom, and the game had gotten away from them. Last night, it wasn't the case. When the other team made a run, Louisville made a run back and countered, and there you go. So there was a lot of reasons to hang your hat. But, you know, and I said I thought the two stats that would determine the game were, because they were the only two areas where Louisville had an advantage. You can say, boy, Boston College is no good, blah, blah, blah. But if you compare the stats, the stats were almost identical. I mean, unbelievably almost identical. The point differential, I think they were +2. Louisville was +1.5. Rebounding numbers were almost identical. Both teams shot under 70% from the free throw line. The only thing that I think I mentioned, rebounding was almost, they were both at +3.5, I think. The only thing that was a significant advantage was Louisville's shooting percentage was higher, and three-point shooting percentage, as poor as they've been, was higher. Excuse me. And That's the area they want. They shot 46%, and I think BC shot like 29%. And as humble as Louisville's shooting percentage was from the 3-point line, I think they made six. They were 30%. They held BC to just 4 3-point field goals and like 22%. And the kid that was their best 3-point shooter, for once, Louisville really got after and kept from making shots. He's only played 8 games, the kid, and he's taken and made more three-pointers than anybody on the squad. So he is a guy that really can get it going from behind the three-point line, and they did a really nice job of defending him. It was let me see if I can find who the hell I'm talking about here. It was Galloway, 0 for 5, 17 minutes, 0 for 5 from the 3-point line. They were 4 for 20 for 20%. Louisville was 6 for 18, not 6 for 20, 6 for 18, 33%. And then from the field, Louisville was 46%, and BC was 29%. Rebounds were 43-42 for Boston College. Another interesting stat. Yeah, this is another credit to Louisville. They made 11 turnovers, and BC only made 10. But the points off turnovers, huge advantage to Louisville. They I think it was something like 15-2 or some craziness. Now, they had a big advantage on second chance points. But still, Louisville more than made up for that with their points off turnovers. So, and they got to the line a lot in the first half, which was good. But it really was the shooting percentage that was the difference. Notre Dame is always a good shooting team, so they'll have their work cut out there. But the place will probably be electric with Russ in the house, and so we'll see. Hopefully they can carry this over. All right, what am I telling you? I'm telling you a whole bunch of things because we got a bunch of stuff coming up.
You'll hear it. You'll hear it in the promo. We got some action tonight. We have Christy Banta and Biggest Biscuit. We'll have U of L women's post game action is number 3 or number 2 depending on what rankings you look at. U of L head down to Raleigh to face number 4 NC State. So we'll have that as soon as that one goes final over on 93.9 The Ville. And our boy Jackie Grossman has IU post tonight as they take on I don't know who IU plays off the top of my dome. I should know this, but I don't. Let me see here. Who do they have tonight? Oh, Purdue. Duh. God, I'm an idiot. They host number 4 Purdue. So Jackie Grossman will have a post game as soon as that one goes final here on ESPN 680, 105.7.
Let's see. I'm going to tell you. Let's see. Nick is trying to weasel out of the podcast to who the people were.
Wait, what?
Isn't that you? Didn't you respond to that?
To what?
The texts that you sent me that said that they did say things were better last night. They said things have gotten better since the podcast came out. And then somebody responded and said, okay, come on, tell me who it was. Wasn't that you?
No, yeah, no, it was me, yeah. I'm being completely just absolutely flushing journalistic integrity down the down the toilet and
please
being like, oh, cool, who's your source? Come on.
Please compromise
Come
your
on.
Sources.
Come on. Did you got two words for you. Come on.
Did you just say this? I don't think you said this, that tonight Louisville women's basketball post game is back with
I did just say that.
Yeah, but did you say Dave Scull and Chrissy Banta?
I said that as well. I was tap dancing because, first off, you were talking about promoting some stuff, and I know I had sent that to you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to read. So then you read it.
It might have gotten lost with all the text I sent involving the podcast stuff. And then I also knew you were reading the podcast stuff because I know when you're tuning me out. So I
no, you know what? You know, I will tell you the truth in the interest of full disclosure. And I'm very, 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 very. Very. Every time I say very, I'm hitting the alarmed face for my text. The alarmed emoji I'm sending back. Mm-hmm. The guy who produced our game in Kansas just said, friends, I have COVID. No idea when I got it, as home testing didn't catch it. Y'all okay? And there's only 4 people on a radio crew. There's the technical guy, the engineer, and he wrote, I'm good so far. Sean Kelly said, oh no, I hope you're doing okay. I'm doing just fine on my end, and I've gotten a cold. And he just wrote, it's like having a cold. And I wrote, yikes, I have a cold right now. Better get a test.
Yeah, you better go, because, I mean, the home tests are 70% effective. So if the home test didn't catch it on his end, I mean, let's be honest, you're due for it. So, yeah, you.
But it's going to cost me so much money if this happens.
Well, I really hope it doesn't, but I also don't want you to, gotta be responsible with this.
Well, where is there? I got to get an instant COVID test. Then I'm going to have to get an instant one.
We'll find you one. Let me see here. I really hope you don't have it, but
I may have to leave because I'm going to have to get it done. You'll have to tap dance on the show because I got to be on the road by 5 o'clock today. And
all right, well, let me see if I can find you one. Gotta love it. We are like a reality show, I swear.
Well, wouldn't that make you lose your concentration for a minute?
Yeah, a little bit, especially when when I had it, it's a very weird experience, and that's something that would happen, like a 15-minute fever. So, especially with your immune system, which is a little trucked up because of cancer. So, let's take a break. We'll reassess. Let's both look for an instant test. And, on the other side, we'll have a little bit of Chris Mack sound. How's that?
Sure, why not?
Sports! The show. Thursday.
COVID.
we got to do the infamous drop that we've used. The time to talk COVID-19, but you have to have the fake enthusiasm behind it. Come on, say it.
Me?
Yeah.
There's a drop for that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We used it throughout the show. It was one of those days. Something awful happened with COVID, or it might have been during we were doing the COVID coverage or whatever. But it's a completely clean drop of you going, "It's the V Show. Time to talk a little COVID-19." And we've used it.
That's back when the other hosts were giving me crap because I was trying to find out everything I could and then share with whatever I could with people, and they Locke, who's a bit of a denier, tiny bit, don't you think? He got mad, and so they tried to mock me, say when I use the word research. I still to this day don't know what better word to use.
Hey, it's Thursday. We all know what Locke's doing today.
Oh, that's right.
He's probably arguing. He might be listening, maybe.
Oh,
but he's
man,
probably arguing with you, but you can't hear anything because he's got a ball gag in. So
it's a great point. Today is wild sex day in the Lockman house, in the McLean household. Lockman. Hey, cool. I gave him a different name. I made him Lockman.
Lockman Turner Overdrive.
Simon decides to get involved in the program. Hello, Si. How are you? Would you like to say hello to listeners again? Say hi again. Say hi. Oh, no, you're not going to talk anymore. Hey, little boy. I'm amazed. As somebody who didn't grow up with a dog, didn't grow up with pets.
Yeah.
This will probably sound awful to people who have had pets their whole lives and say, I'm amazed how much you can love a dog. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, yeah.
You can get so... It's just incredible how much I love this little guy that we found in the middle of the street. He's so adorable. You're so cute, Simon. And you're a sweet boy, but you bought too much. Not your fault, though. You were bred a Lhasa Apso, and that's what you have to do. You have to guard. You got to guard your daddy.
Tweeter says this. Shout out to Paris's keeper. UAW on Fern Valley has free rapid testing.
I'm going. Oh, Fern Valley. Good Lord.
That's not too far. It's not too far from me.
Simon, I'm going. I'm going to go. Simon is determined that I go get tested. So what are the hours? Can I make it, or do I have to leave at 2, maybe?
No. I'll have
UAW, the United Auto Workers?
Yeah. UAW.
Suppose I'm not a UAW member. Does it matter?
I don't know. Go fix a car real fast.
Oh, he wants to play. That's his playbook. Stop being mad at Simon. He's not being less apso. Now he's just being playful. He wants to play. Go play with your mommy. Good. Go play with mommy. Oh, wait a minute. He might want to go. Why do you take him out? So Brian's going to be here. Yeah.
All right. I'm looking this up. This is absolutely horrible radio, so we need to take a call.
Well, but I know what? This is incredibly selfish of me, so I apologize to the listener. But I really need to know. I can't go on. I'm supposed to be on the road for 4 days now, and there's so many games coming up now. I'm going to wind up. This god blanking disease is going to wind up. We're going to have to just live.
How far away are you from 1010 Clark's Lane? You got to love the ESPN Louisville
people, listeners?
Listeners, yeah. I mean, they're just pouring in here.
Well, they're the most, they're the nicest. Well, the people of our show. I can't speak to all of them, but you know, our show attracts the people that, are a little bit kinder because that's how we run our show. And so they I appreciate it. And they think they know how much I appreciate them because I do. But I'm telling you that if this if I've got COVID, I'm in no position to drive to Durham, North Carolina.
They usually do. Let me look.
All right. Hey, not just the good people.
Sweeney's coming to help too.
Sweeney's swinging in. Yeah.
Thank you. No, seriously. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Because... He said, God's country, man. Indiana has a ton of free testing.
But do you have to be an Indiana resident? Is the question.
Just lie. Say you're Jamie. People would be like, "You're not glistening. Get the hell out of here."
Now we're all in a group chat about, I'm afraid Sean Kelly may be having some symptoms now, too. When did you boys start having symptoms? I started having them. What is today? Today's Thursday. I started having them about Tuesday.
I got a text. One of my friends who lives in Louisville said that they got a COVID test in Indiana.
So, and it was okay? All right.
It was okay.
I don't care. I'll go anywhere to get that'll give me an instant test because I need an answer by like 5 o'clock today. I've already prepaid for a hotel room halfway there because I'm going to drive halfway tonight and then the rest of the way tomorrow. And, you know, I need to know if I'm actually going to use it or I'm SOL, as they like to say. So.
Well, I mean, definitely worth looking into the folks in God's country. The one, the 1010 Clark's Avenue is... It's right next to Norton Hospital, which is where I think you were getting your cancer treatment.
I'm sorry. So, give me the address again.
1010.
WINS with news and weather on the 8th. Oh, I'm sorry.
1010 Clark's Lane. It's right next to my house. Man, you know, it's a shame I can't take the test for you because everything's right next to me.
Let's do that. Let's, you know, hey, it used to work when I was in school. I got Tommy to take my SAT for me. Maybe this will work. 1010.
Good news, bad news, Bobby V. No COVID, but you do have syphilis. What the hell?
1010. What's the street again? Clark's Lane.
Clark's Lane. Yeah. Can we please take a break?
No.
Why are we doing this on the air? We have commercials. People willing
to give
us
COVID-19 drive-through medical laboratory. Well, I need to know, is it fast, rapid test?
Yes, these guys said you're in and out in like 15 minutes.
Yeah, but do you get the result? I don't need about going through. I need to have the result. I need to know now. I can't do it and have them call me Saturday in Virginia, say, oh, yeah, you're really contagious. I mean, that's going to be bad. This scares me because this is, I have the exact same symptoms the dude in Seattle has.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of this, but I'd rather you be safe than sorry.
All right, we'll go to break for you listeners, and thank you all for trying to help. I understand this is a free test, and I know people want to be helpful, but I can't emphasize enough that for this to give me some value today, I need one of those where they give you the results in like 15 minutes. And I don't, I know there was one right near my house, actually, the Walgreens right around the corner. I wonder if they have a rapid result thing. Let me call them. I'm going to call them while we're in commercial break.
All right. So before while you're doing that, there's no good segue to do this, but might as well a nice little palate cleanse before we go to commercial break. I want to give a shout out to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN Louisville studios, and they have you covered for all the games this weekend. Try the ESPN Louisville special: 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for just $9.39. Just mention ESPN Louisville. Good 7 days a week. Order online wingzone.com. Two Louisville locations: Hikes Point and the Pop Level Road location at Quarry Center. The wings are always good, but today's batch might be the best batch they've dropped off in months. It's got all my favorites. It's got a little bit of buffalo boneless, sweet and tangy, like Korean like barbecue for a boneless version. The honey gold, big fan of honey gold wings. Always a little sticky and messy, but absolutely fantastic. Like a sweet and spicy like honey barbecue blend. For regular wings, they have the wedges. Oh my god, the wedges, Dad, so good. And last but certainly selfish. Not least, the breaded wings are fantastic.
Selfish. Nobody cares that I'm battling COVID now, and they're just enjoying wings. Just selfish, the whole bunch of you.
Yes. No. Well, you know, Process was about to just shove a boneless wing in his gullet, and then he looked wistfully into the distance and was like, "Man, I really hope Bobby V doesn't have COVID." And then he paused for a second, and then he's
and
like,
then
"Jack,
anyway.
Can you pass the blue cheese?" And instead of taking a large chomp, he just took these like wistful nibbles, and just still just staring off, you know, 100-yard stare. And then he just said, "Yeah, I hope he's okay. I hate Annie Agar." And he took a
He hates Annie Agar?
Hates Annie Agar.
Really? Why? She's good looking and she's funny. She's very funny. I mean, she's very snarky. I would think he'd love it. She's as snarky as he is.
I think he's mad that he's not Annie Agar.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's he doesn't hate her. He's jealous. That's exactly
right. Well, that's definitely part of it. Because I think he also, and he has, when he would do the weekend reviews for The Take, I mean, he does what Annie does, but he's funnier and more critical and everything. And I love, like, Diener and I are in agreement. We love the, and you as well, we love the Annie Agar videos, but Process is just...
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, quite literally, you know, not that long ago, maybe 25 years ago even, there's no way anybody would even know who she is. I mean, she did the one first video, and it went completely viral, and it made her. Now she's got an agent, and she's on broadcast television.
Yeah,
you know, and Rex Chapman, who's you know, I've enjoyed as much as anybody. He has built. Well, now he's become a whole industry, and now he's got a job with CNN Plus. His whole thing was because Block or Charge got everybody's attention. And all of a sudden that became, I mean, it's unbelievable. You can go from, now Rex was not a nobody ever. I mean, certainly sports fans knew who he was. He's a great player, played in the NBA. But, I mean, nobody, who the hell was Annie Agar? And now, you know, everybody knows who she is. So it's amazing. Well, we've gone through the whole hour, so now what do you want to do? Are you still there? Did you leave? What happened?
Yeah, no. Well, the texter who passed along the Clark's Lane, giving them all kinds of pub. Hopefully you don't go there, and it's just like 50 B-show listeners like, hey! Like,
it's
pretty good.
It's not the COVID test. It's a driving test. It's the written driving test. That's what it is.
Some poor guy, all right, Milton, just try not to be so heavy on the... What the hell? Why is everyone sick? Just, what the hell is this? You know, looking around.
You're in no condition to drive, sir. You have 104 fever. I know. I came here to get a COVID test.
Dude, my driving test guy was... He was a great dude, but it was just... It was weird, man. It was just weird. I was driving around helping him do errands. He was so level-headed and chill, and even told a couple off-color jokes. Like, I mean, it was just like, what
you were driving around helping him do errands?
Yeah. Like, my neighbor did it, and he was like, oh, man, I got dinner tonight with my wife. This is... My neighbor's a girl. He's like, hey, can you drop me by the house? I need a shower. So she runs in. She's just sitting in the parking lot. And that sounds creepy, but it was totally well-meaning. He just ran in, took a shower, came out. Hair still wet. All right, let's get back on the highway. And she's like, what the hell just happened here?
Well, what about my guy who wanted me to... I mean, here I am trying so hard. You know, you have no experience. You're trying to do all the stuff. I don't know if they still ask you to do this. I assume they do. You know, you get in, you're supposed to check your side view mirror, your rear view mirror, make sure the seat's right, you got your seatbelt on, and I'm trying to go through all that, and as we, you know, I haven't finished yet, and he says, come on, let's go, he said, we can make the light, and I'm like, what, go, no, we can stop, and I did the brakes, and he slams his leg, damn it, you gotta wait for this light again, he says, I give this test all day, I hate waiting for this light, and I was dude, what the hell? You think that was a good idea?
Like, I know the book says slow down, but green means go, yellow means punch it.
Doesn't even have his license. You think it's a good idea to have me zipping out from the curb and gunning it for the light, and then at the last minute deciding we can't make it and just get on the brakes? And I was like, wow.
My guy, he was very chill, very nice. I helped him, you know, I drove him around and we did some errands and everything, which was great because, you know, it's like country roads and, you know, town roads. Like, it's in town. It was a nice mixture of highway and everything, and we got comfortable and started talking some sports, and even like told, like I said, told me some like off color jokes. He was like, so like an Episcopalian, a Puerto Rican, and a Jew walk into a bar, and I'm like, what is this even? I was just like, I guess we're on that level now. And so, but I did get on the highway at one point.
It's gotta be the instant.
And he was like, all right, you know, let's merge here. You're going to have to speed up a little bit, get in front of the semi. And I jerked the wheel to get on the highway. And he went from super chill, like hindering on off-color racist grandpa, to screaming at me. He was like, never jerk the wheel. When you get on the highway, you almost killed us. And I was like, oh, my bad. And he just was, and then he calmed down. We went like half an exit, and I just was like white knuckled. And then he looked and he was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell, but you almost murdered us. And I was like, all right, good to know. I won't do that again. Good stuff. Right. You didn't listen to a word of that because you were talking to mom and the dog.
Well, I was talking to mom. Sorry. Mom said she's going to run around the corner to Walgreens and ask them if they have instant tests.
All right. Well, this Clark's Lane thing
is getting worse by the minute here.
The Clark's Lane seems to be the morning line favorite if it doesn't work. A caller called and said it worked. A texter said that, you know, it's good. You'll be waiting from anywhere between instantly and an hour, but you will get the results in like 10 minutes. It's an instant test.
All right, then that's who, if Walgreens doesn't have it, I'm going to go there, and I may have to leave this show early to get my result.
Fantastic.
So that's what we're doing. I'm sorry, folks. What do you want me to do? Listen to my voice. Who's going to want to listen? In an hour, I'm going to, you think I sound bad now? I've been in this movie before. I'll be Marlon Brando in The Godfather. So the offense looked a little better. They were making passes that I thought were the kind of passes that Barzini and I thought that he would make, but he made me a pass I couldn't refuse.
So talking about on the day of my daughter's wedding,
on the day of the Notre Dame game and Russ Smith retirement jersey, you come and make a request to me. I cannot say no on this day. So I will take you to Peter's Lane or whatever the hell the name of that street is and get you your instant
1010 Clark's Lane.
Yeah, whatever. Clark's Lane. Dick Clark. All right. So there you go. All right. So we managed to get to the 12:55. We did, I don't know, 40% sports. 40% sports.
I think he was hindering on 50, and then 50, it just and went then off the 50%, rails.
50%. Well, because I realize now I might very well have COVID.
Yeah, you have COVID, and we started talking about driving tests.
The great thing is, first of all, two things that I think is very important to point out without sounding self-pitying, because I'm not. You know, you get diagnosed with stage 4 leukemia, and it's in remission. And believe me, I am lucky. I'm not unlucky. But having said that, number one, I want to play a game of coverall medical problems. I'm winning. I'm kicking everybody's ass. What do you got? Heart attack, done. Been there. Cancer, done. Been there. Done that. Arthritis, got it. Yep. Hip replacement, maybe. Still on the docket. COVID, going for that. Definitely taking care of that. Pneumonia, took care of that. So it's coverall. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's coverall here. I mean, so I've got that working. And the second thing, which I was going to say, completely slipped my mind, which is another symptom of COVID.
Fantastic. This texter said, 4379-680 UPS jobs text line, did Nick almost kill his driving tester like he did the forklift tester at UPS? And then I started telling the story, and he wrote back, holy spit, yeah, he did.
You almost killed the forklift driver, instructor? I don't think I've ever heard that.
It wasn't the forklift driver, but it was at UPS, great company to work for, upsjobsky.com. Check it out. The amount of money they're making over there is just absolutely stupid right now. Up to $21 an hour for part-time package handler positions. If you're in college and you're not doing that to pay for college, and
put
that much jingle
your,
jangle in your pocket, I'm sorry.
You're out of your gourd.
I don't know what to tell you. And also, I mean, hell, if you're looking for a part-time gig, I know a lot of people that are doing that.
I'm going to need one now with all these games being canceled. Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, but they don't.
Of all the times to get COVID, I couldn't get it in August. Got to get it now. Of course, now. Sure.
Well, you knew this was going to happen. I'm sorry. I knew this was going to happen. You always get sick when you're traveling all over the place, and the weather's changing and all that jazz. And so I just, you know, don't want to say I called it, but I called it. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're feeling well enough, but, you know, I'm always worried about you traveling. Selfishly, I'd like you to stay here and just, you know, sit in bed with some soup. It's like I've gone the opposite. You and Mom used to be, like, overprotective Italian parents, and now I'm, like, the overprotective Italian parent. But, yeah, UPS Jobs now offering up to $21 an hour for part-time package handler positions. Learn how you can graduate debt-free. Apply today at upsjobsky.com. But, no, we'll wrap the hour with this. I was working in Small Sort, and, I mean, the place is gigantic.
Like, I just visualized Small Sort. They had, like, all little people. You were surrounded by little people.
What, it's like Munchkin Land?
Small Sorts, yes. You know, like out of Wizard of Oz, they would sing their song.
Like, everyone's got squeaky voices. Hi, Nick, did you hear? We have, like, the India shipment coming in, a whole lot of iPhones. I'm like, all right, let's get it, Milton. You know, like, just... Yeah, no, it wasn't like they were Christmas elves, Dad. It was...
Oh, that would have been so cool. I might have applied for that. Can I work in Small Sort?
It was Small Sort. It was the smaller packages. But, damn it, I wish I had the Blue Chew copy in front of me. That would have been a perfect segue. Nonetheless, it was... it's a giant warehouse, and there's carts that you have that you have to, you know, go from one end to the other so that they can make flights. They're called tugs. At least those are the big ones that take the big containers and tubes out to the planes. But in the actual warehouse, it's like a little cart. It looks like the things that they use to shuttle people in the airport. But you have to go through a very, very short driving test to get certified. And I was certified for most of the stuff in the area, but I was like, damn it, I want to learn how to drive the cart. And I bitched and complained about it for long enough that my man Shane, who is my supervisor, who actually, fun fact, works with Jeanette now. Small world. He was like, all right, fine, Nick, I'll give you the test. So I took the test, and they tell you to wear thick work shoes, and preferably steel toes, because that way if a heavy box falls on your foot, you don't get hurt. So right. I already have giant freaking, like, webbed feet. And so I'm rocking these Timberland steel-toed boots that are probably like 14, 15 double E. So they're gigantic.
Herman Munster shoes, basically.
Yeah, they're absolutely gigantic and wide and thick and fat and everything like that. Damn it, I wish I had the Blue Chew read. So it's just gigantic. And the way the carts are, it's a little cylinder that you put that's the gas pedal, and it has that cylinder to protect it from a box falling on it, and, you know, the gas going. But my fat foot is so fat and thick, it gets stuck in the little cylinder. So Shane, my guy, is doing the, okay, Nick, back up, okay, turn right, okay, turn left, okay, all right, go up and drive and do a circle and then stop at me. And so I go up, do the, like, figure eight, and I come back, and I go to stop, and my foot has gotten wedged in the cylinder. And so he's like, Nick, slow down. Nick, slow down. Nick, slow the foot. And he literally dives out of the way as I rip my foot out of the cylinder and come to a screeching halt. And he, like, does an action, like, tumble roll. And I'm just like, dude, I'm so sorry. We look at each other, and he's like, not for you? And I was like, not for me. And so I went right back to working in the warehouse.
There you go.
Yeah, well, almost killed my soup. Good guy. It's nice.
Must be if he still talks to you after that.
Yeah, well, that was, like, the fourth worst thing I ever did in that building. But, I failed that driving test, too. So...
Wow. Things I'm learning about you. Did you ever decide to call OPC about your squirrels?
That is a story. That's really disgusting, though.
There's a lot of dead squirrels in
here. Ooh, multiple. And they were very dead. Very dead.
That makes usually an odor of some sort.
Oh, it was never seen that many maggots before. That was
man.
Yeah.
No,
anyway,
that's good for my diet now. I'm not going to eat.
Yeah, let's take a top of the hour break. Then we can come back and I can tell you about squirrels. I can tell you about being wrongfully accused of Fridgegate 2022. We can play some Chris Mack sound, do a little hit or myth, and then our buddy Chris Robinson from the Bats will join us a little bit later as well. So, you're listening to The V Show. I'm just taking it to break. I'm rolling right now. It's a Thursday, ESPN 680-1057.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.